And turn to Luke 24, please. Luke chapter 24. Read several verses out of this chapter so you follow along. As I read, and title of the message this morning is "And Their Eyes Were Opened." It's taken from one of these verses in our text, and you'll see it as we get there. Luke chapter 24. Beginning in verse 13, you follow along. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. Just as we get into this, for context's sake, what you note is in verse 13 where it says, "that same day they went to a village." That is referring to the day of the Lord's resurrection, the first part of this chapter. In verse 1, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away." The story goes on, and we'll cover this. We'll go back and cover this passage later in the year as we get closer to Easter and so on. We'll cover this passage again. But that's what it's referring to in verse 13, the same day, the day that the Lord was resurrected, that He came from the grave. The Bible also says that they were on the road to Emmaus, which was a village about 70 furlongs from Jerusalem. Just for your information, that's roughly 7 miles. Here they are walking 7 miles from Jerusalem. It's notable. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Verse 14, "And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one with to another as ye walk and are sad?" That's notable as well. Verse 18, "And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them, What things? And they said unto Him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not His body, they came saying that they had seen also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it, even as the women had said, but Him they saw not. Then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how He was known of them in breaking of bread." I want to talk with you today and consider this passage. Again, the title of the message, "And Their Eyes Were Opened." And what we have before us this morning is maybe one of the most vivid and insightful accounts of our Lord's appearance after His resurrection. Luke is the only gospel that records this event of the four gospels. And it's a story that reveals to us not only something about who we are, prone to be slow of heart to believe, That is our condition. But also, how Jesus will open our eyes and help us to see Him for who He is. And these men, or these people on this, that are in this account, on this journey to Emmaus, is both a literal and a spiritual journey. On the one hand, it recounts the story of these two disciples who, after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, they walk 7 miles from Jerusalem to this village of Emmaus. It tells the literal account of that. But on the other hand, it outlines for us the journey that all people take, going from not really recognizing Jesus Christ to understanding what the Scriptures teach concerning Him, to recognizing Him for who He is, and then ultimately us giving our witness of what we have experienced in the Lord. And that's really the basic outline of where we're going today, because all of those things happened in this account. And I want you to just note these 4 things with me, and we'll ask the Lord to bless His Word today in our heart, and you engage your heart and your mind. Be sober, be serious about God's Word today, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would You bless the preaching today according to Your will? Father, with Your Spirit, would You give understanding? And Father, would You fill with Your Spirit as well? That only the thoughts and the words that You would have would be conveyed today, that Your will is done in every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I want you to note with me about this passage some things about Jesus Christ. First of all, we note that Jesus seeks after men. Jesus seeks after men. Verses 13 to 26 give us this account, and we'll read these verses again and work our way through them. Verse 13 says, "Behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them." And I find in here that Jesus seeks after men. Although the disciples knew who Jesus was, the Bible tells us that they didn't recognize Him. They knew a lot about Jesus. They had been actually witness to all the things that had happened in Jerusalem. They gave a very detailed account of all the things that had happened in Jerusalem. Verse 19 tells us in the second part, when Jesus said, "What things?" They said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." Here, what does this tell us? It tells us that they saw Jesus' miracles. They said that He was a prophet who was mighty in deed. It's referring to His miracles, to His work. Also in word, that He was a prophet of God. They heard His preaching. Even about Himself, they heard His preaching. We've considered this already, but several times in the book of Luke, it is recorded how Jesus reveals to His disciples what is going to happen to Him. That He must be delivered up into the hands of evil men. And the Son of Man would die, but He would rise again the third day. They were not in darkness concerning these things. They were there the week earlier when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, which is what we give the account of as the triumphant entry of Christ. They were there watching and observing, and the crowds that would have lined the way to the shouts of Hosanna, which means save us now. It was crowds and throngs of people that were looking to Jesus Christ as to be the one who was the Redeemer of Israel. They were there for all of that. They were there for His betrayal by Judas and His arrest in the garden. They understood and knew these things, because verse 20 also tells us they gave the account of how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. They knew about the kangaroo court, the illegal trial. They knew about the beating and the whipping of the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, ultimately, His crucifixion. They're giving a pretty detailed account. They knew that He was buried in a tomb. And now, Some ladies who were part of their group went to the tomb and he wasn't there, and they saw angels. They give the account, verse 22, "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." They were aware of all of these things, part of all of these things. They knew Jesus intimately. And you can imagine that all that they described here was quite a roller coaster of emotions. That's a lot to have happen in a week's time, all of these things. They had heard about the many occasions, the things that Jesus had testified about himself. And yet, they were not able to recognize Jesus when they met him. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to them, to seek after them, to walk with them. And there are a few reasons why they didn't recognize Jesus. First of all, I believe from this text that one of the reasons they didn't recognize the Lord is because God didn't want them to. Verse 16 tells us, "But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him." The language conveys the sense that they were kept on purpose from recognizing the Lord. The word holden means to seize. It means to hold back. And they were kept on purpose from recognizing the Lord because God had a purpose in blinding their eyes. Jesus isn't being cruel here. He gradually reveals himself to these men, but this gradual revelation of himself allowed them to learn some particular lessons, some valuable lessons about trusting God's promise and trusting God's word. And we'll get to that in just a little bit here. The disciples had been told about these events many times, but they hadn't believed them. Here they are, still walking and are sad, the Bible tells us. And Jesus met them on the road, and he walked a long time with them over those many miles. And at the same time, God veiled their eyes in such a way that they didn't know that it was Jesus. But here's the application. You know what? Sometimes God does that with us too. Veils the eyes. Not letting us see his plan in real time. In order to test us, and test our faith and our trust in him, to teach us some valuable lessons. I mean, I can imagine scenarios in life where maybe there's some hopes and some dreams. There's some things that we've got laid out before us that we would like to see, and they don't work out as we expected or as we wanted them to do or to work out, and it creates anxiety, it creates turmoil, it creates sadness in our heart, and so on. I can imagine all kinds of scenarios where that's the case, where we can't see God's plan in real time. Whatever's happening, we don't really understand all the reasons why, but God is testing our faith to see if we're really going to trust him. Maybe God's up to something that we don't understand or see. You can imagine all kinds of scenarios like that, where God veils the eyes sometimes, particularly to teach us some lessons. For us to learn some valuable lessons about trusting God and his promises and his word. And in those times, as we walk through them, it's only when we look back as we walk the road. It's only when we look back and we see where we've come that we begin to see how amazingly God has actually been working in our life. God didn't want them to recognize the Lord at this point because he wanted to teach them a lesson. Secondly, another reason why they didn't recognize Jesus immediately is because the events had not happened as they expected them to. Verse 21 tells us, they said, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." You see their mindset here? So Jesus was crucified, he was buried, All of their hopes and their dreams were put into Jesus Christ. They thought he was the Messiah, and now he's dead and gone. And they said, but we trusted that it was he that was, should have been, should, that was the one to redeem Israel. See, they had some preconceived ideas about who Jesus was and what he came to do and how he should do it. But when those things didn't turn out like they thought they should, they were thinking that maybe they had misplaced their hopes and their dreams and their trust. Well, here's the thing. God always has a plan. And while God always has a plan, we're not always privy to that plan. And when things don't turn out like we expect, sometimes we get defeated and are sad, like the Bible tells us these men were. But instead of being defeated, perhaps we should be wise enough to see things in a different light and to believe that maybe God's just up to something that is more than I can understand at this point, but I'm going to trust him anyway. But then we see that Jesus revealed what the real issue was. Why they didn't recognize Jesus Christ. Because verse 25 tells us, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Here's the real issue. They had little faith. They were slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had written. In other words, they knew what the scriptures said concerning the Messiah. They believed he was the Messiah, but they didn't believe all of what the scripture said concerning him. They had some preconceived ideas. They had little faith. They had heard the prophets. They had heard the reports from the women who said that Jesus was not there, their experience with the angel. They heard the account of Peter and John who went to the sepulcher and found it as the women had said, but not Jesus. They heard the reports, and yet they still had not believed. The supernatural working of God to raise Jesus from the dead was outside of their paradigm. They hadn't seriously considered all that the Word of God had said concerning the Messiah. And I would say to you this morning, we need to be careful not to make that same mistake. Often we discount what God is doing simply because we don't understand it. And to discount what God is doing or what God has done simply because we can't explain it or understand it is a big mistake, or because we don't see it in the moment. It's a big mistake. It doesn't look like things are happening. It doesn't look like things are going the way that I think that they should go. And if it just was, you know, how I could fully see and understand, I'd be like, hey, God's doing some great things. God's working here in a miraculous way. But because I can't see it, God's probably not working. He must not be. And we discount what God is doing simply because we can't see it or understand it. I do that sometimes, honestly. I don't see the evidence, the results of what I would consider to be results of God working in someone's life, some tangible thing. It doesn't seem like there's much response to the preaching of God's word. God must not be working. Is it my fault? Is it your fault? And we start to blame. But we don't really know what God is doing. And sometimes we discount it because we can't understand it or see it. And that's a mistake. That shows a lack of faith. And these men, these two disciples, listen, they knew something had happened, but it was beyond their understanding, so they couldn't see it for what it truly was. You know, there are people in this world, the lost of this world, do that very same thing all the time. They discount the accuracy and the authority of God's word and ultimately God himself, because they can't find a natural explanation for things. But yet they'll embrace the unexplainable theory of evolution to the denial of God, because they have to explain it somehow, but it can't be God. And they discount the authority of God's word. I was having a conversation just the other day there are some family members, extended family members, who they don't believe the Word of God is inspired. They're very, maybe not atheistic totally, but they're very skeptical. And they don't believe the authority of God's Word, or that God's Word is expired and are inspired. But when you boil it right down, if you really get down to what the heart of the issue is, they don't want to believe that it is, because if God's Word is true and it's inspired of God, then they're accountable to God, and what it says about them is also true, and they don't want to admit it. They don't want to see it. The world does that all the time. They'll discount the authority of God or God's Word because they can't find the natural explanation for it. But then they'd be accountable to Him for it as well. But then there are those today who, they know who Jesus is. They're Christian, quote, Christian people. They've heard about Him. They've read about Him. They use His name. Even some claim to know Him. But those same people wouldn't recognize Him if they saw Him. Why? Because their eyes haven't really been opened. Knowing about God and knowing Him personally are two very, very different things. These men didn't recognize Jesus, and the Lord graciously sought them out to teach them some lessons. And I would make this application before we move on. You know what? We need the Lord to seek us out. I'm so glad that the Lord came looking for me one day. I didn't want Him. I didn't love Him. I didn't want the things of God in my life. I wanted my own way, and I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I wanted to live out in the world, and I wanted to experience all of the things that the world had to offer. I didn't want God in my life, and God came looking for me in my despair, in my pit of sin. I needed the Lord to seek me out. The Bible tells us that no man seeks after God on his own. I didn't love the Lord. I do now, but it's only because He loved me first. We need the Lord to seek us out. Aren't you glad that the Lord came looking for you? These men, the Bible tells us, were walking, talking about all of these things. They were sad because they didn't believe, and Jesus came looking for them. So we see that Jesus seeks after men, but I want you to look at verses 27 to 29 and consider that Jesus opens men's eyes. Verse 27 says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him." Jesus opens men's eyes. Verse 27 says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." And we don't know the specific passages that Jesus used, but we do know that He opened up to them the Scriptures with a purpose toward showing them how the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ as its fulfillment. Maybe Jesus began with Genesis 3:15, where God cursed the serpent and said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Maybe from there, Jesus pointed them to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, which says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and unto him shall ye hearken." Maybe from there, Jesus took him to Isaiah chapter 14, where God says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And maybe he went on in the book of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3 to describe how the Messiah was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Later on, how Isaiah 53 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." Maybe Jesus quoted Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, "And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for their firstborn." We don't know all that Jesus said, but what we do know is that Jesus walked them through the entirety of the revelation of the Old Testament that gives witness to who he was and why he came and why it was necessary. What's the point? Jesus wanted them to see that if they would only believe what the Scripture said about him, that they would understand why he came and why he had to suffer, and they would have known who he was. Let me say to you today that Scripture gives testimony of who Jesus is. He uses it today to open the eyes of those who don't know him. For example, Luke 16:31 simply says, "And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." In Luke chapter 16, that's the story of the rich man who in hell lift up his eyes and in torments and in the flames, and he understood that his whole life that he lived was wasted, it was vain, and now forever he's in the flames of torment, and he says, I just want some relief from this. And it wasn't possible. And when he understood that it wasn't possible, he said, "Well, at least send Lazarus back from the dead to warn my brothers so they don't come to this place of torment." And Abram said to the rich man, "They've got Moses and the prophets. They've got the Scriptures. If they don't believe the words of the Scripture, they won't believe even if one came back from the dead." John 1:45 says, "Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." John 5:46 says, "For had ye believed Moses," the Scriptures, "ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." You know what? Many people try to explain away Jesus. They try to tell you that he's one of many ways to get to heaven. That he was a good man, he was a great prophet, he was a good teacher. Maybe he was a rebel who defied the Roman authorities. But here's the truth of the matter. Outside of a knowledge of the Scriptures with the Holy Spirit of God, a person will never have a proper understanding of who Jesus is. That's one reason it's so important to believe that all of the Scriptures is God's Word. Listen, if it's untrustworthy in one point, it's untrustworthy in all points. It's either all of God's Word or it's none of His Word. The truth is, when we know the Scriptures, it builds our faith. And only through faith can we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the truth of the Scriptures about Jesus Christ that leads to personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God prevented these two disciples from recognizing Jesus in the moment to convey a deep truth. That even if they saw, they might not believe. They had to trust the testimony of the Scriptures concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a more sure word of prophecy, even better than an eyewitness. It's God's Word. But then we look in verse 30, and we saw that Jesus opens men's eyes. But we see in verse 30 that Jesus reveals himself to men. Verse 30 says, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, brake it," verse 32, or verse 31, "and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." It was only as they had fellowship with Jesus Christ that he revealed himself to them. I want you to note what they said in verse 32. And they said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures?" Jesus reveals Himself to those whose eyes that He has opened through the truth of God's Word. You know what? God's working in our life always becomes clearer. His provision, His protection, those things come into focus when we delight in God's Word. What do you do in the midst of trial? What do you do in the midst of confusion? What do you do in the midst of heartache? What do you do in the midst of sadness? What do you do in the midst of temptation? What do you do in all those things? We rely on our own understanding, and all we can see is the trial. All we can see is the circumstance. All we can see is the problem. But when we get into God's Word and the truth of Scripture start to wash over our life, listen, all of God's provision and His protection and His promise and His work in my life, it becomes more clear, and I understand things a whole lot more clearly when God's Word is influencing my life. You know the times when I'm kind of whiny and pouty about circumstance? The only solution, the best solution, it's good to have friends to talk to. That's a help and a comfort and a support. But the real answer is to take those things to the Lord, to get into God's Word and read His promises again. Because God's Word is alive. It's a supernatural book. It's not just words on a page. It ministers to the soul. We get the wrong attitude and we get depressed when we don't take advantage of the things that God has provided for us. I realize that there's a lot of extenuating circumstances around issues of depression and things like that. There's a lot of other factors in there. But ultimately, listen, God, for the child of God, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness right here in His Word. If we can't trust that, if we don't believe that, we're never really going to see who Jesus is and what He can do in my life. People fail of the grace of God because they're not taking full advantage of what God has given to us in His Word. I mean, I feel bad for people who have extenuating circumstances, some hard things. But what's the real answer in all of that? It's still to go back to the Lord. It's still to go back to His Word. Because at the root of everything, there's something spiritual for the child of God. These men ultimately didn't recognize the Lord is because they didn't believe what God's Word said concerning Him. But when they finally recognized the Lord, when He revealed Himself, the Bible tells us that Jesus vanished. He disappeared. Fellowship with Him was not going to depend on their ability to see Him, but rather upon their taking Him at His Word and believing His Word. But I want you to notice finally their response. Once they recognized the Lord, once their eyes were opened after He expounded unto them the Scriptures and revealed Himself, what was their response? The Bible tells us they couldn't help but tell people about it. Look at verse 33. "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon.'" There was multiple things that were happening at this point in time, because Jesus revealed Himself to Simon. And he was with the disciples saying, "The Lord is risen indeed. He's appeared to me." And at the same time, when all of that's going on, Jesus was with these two men on the road to Emmaus. And they understood the Lord Jesus Christ. And they went back to tell the 11. And verse 35 says, "And they told what things were done in the way and how He was known of them in breaking of bread." Point is that when their eyes were opened, when they saw Jesus for who he was, they were moved to go and share him with others. And when our eyes have been opened by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and God does a work in our heart to the saving of the soul, you know what? There's going to be a desire to have other people's eyes open too. Can you imagine the excitement they must have felt at the realization that Jesus really was alive? They said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he was speaking to us on the road, when he was explaining the scriptures to us?" Man, didn't my heart just burn? Didn't yours burn? That's the kind of heartburn you want. I know how to get the other kind. I don't like it. Their encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, man, that was more than just some emotion. That was spiritual. And it stirred them on the inside. It moved their very heart. And once their heart was moved, they couldn't help but go and tell people. Man, we know that it was a 7-mile trip from Jerusalem to Emmaus. At the end of the journey there, they said, "Hey, the day's far spent. Why don't you just stay with us? Why don't you just fellowship with us? Why don't you just stay here? The day's almost over." But then we read, after they had Jesus revealed himself, that very hour, they rose up and they walked the 7 miles, probably ran the 7 miles back to Jerusalem, just so they could tell other people about it. The hour was late. The day was far spent. It was a far journey. But in that very hour, they left for Jerusalem. They gave witness that Jesus was risen, that he had walked with them, that he had talked with them, how he explained the scriptures to them, how he broke bread at their table, how they had fellowship with him. They wanted to tell of the wonders. And I would simply say this: if you've experienced the risen Savior, that should move us in a similar way to the way that it moved these men. And there ought to be a desire to want to share Jesus Christ. There's something wrong in our spiritual life if we don't have a desire to tell other people about what the Lord has done for us. Maybe it's not just in a preaching situation. Maybe it's not flamboyant. Maybe it's not any of those things. But there ought to be a desire in the heart somewhere. I want other people to know what the Lord's done for me. And if that is void in someone's life, it's not there. There's something wrong in the heart. Because when you have an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, then you know what? The things that God wants, you want. God wants all men to know. And I would ask you this as we close this morning: do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, first of all? Are you saved? When did you come to know the Lord? When were you born again? When was the day that you put your faith in Jesus Christ? When was the day that your eyes were opened to who he was, is, and what he's done? Secondly, can you testify to his presence in your life? Do you have fellowship with him? Has your life changed because of him? Do you tell others about him? The question, maybe I'm not asking the right one, but I know the Spirit of God does. He asks the right question in your heart. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I simply just ask that you would take your word and use it in hearts and lives this morning. And Lord, it's not up to my feeble attempts to explain the scriptures, but it's your word, the living, powerful book that it is, to discern the thoughts and intents of a person's heart. It's the Holy Spirit of God taking your word and applying it in lives. And Lord, I pray today that you would use it and there would be genuine heart responses to you today. For those who are not saved here, there are some. Their eyes have not been opened. They know about Jesus, but they don't know him personally. Lord, would you draw them to yourself today? For the child of God, the saint of God, Lord, work in us too. Lord, may there be a longing in our own heart to have fellowship with the Lord in such a way that it causes our heart to burn within us, to enjoy that intimacy with Christ that stirs the soul and causes the response to want others to know the Jesus that I know. Lord, have your will and way in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.